feeling stronger every day. Well, I'm not sure if the biotech companies that are the subject of activist investors railing against them are. To address the subject now, we want to bring in Fred Ledley. He's director of Bentley University's Centre for Integration of Science and Industry. And Bentley University, of course, a strategic partner of Bloomberg Radio. Fred, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So just give us an overview of, the landscape, activists battling biotech companies. I didn't realize that it got to sort of epic proportions.
Well, it's become quite a conflict. And the good news is stock prices are way up. The biotech and the biotech indices are hitting new all-time highs. And the companies are worried that as that's happening, investors are looking to really take cash out of those companies, and they're concerned that it takes cash out of the innovation ecosystem, that money that's spent on buybacks or cash acquisitions, from the point of view of the drug developers and the future product stream, is money not spent on R&D.
Are we already seeing an impact of that activism, Fred?
Well, you absolutely are. We've paid a lot of attention here to the acquisition of Cubist, for example, which on one hand was incredibly exciting. It was a, $8.4 billion acquisition of a company with a robust pipeline. On the other hand, it was the only company in the world exclusively focused on developing antibiotics, and particularly antibiotics for some of the things that we're most afraid of, these superbugs that may turn out resistant to everything else. And, while the large pharmaceutical companies certainly are more interested in that area than they used to, it also resulted in really disassembling an outstanding team of people who were totally dedicated to that topic.
Yeah. Tell us, who are some of these activists, and are they particularly, biotech crazed, or are these activists that are just activists in any stock that they see, value that they could potentially unlock?
I think it's exactly the same activist investors that are active in every sector, and biotech has probably not been very interesting to them over the years because, as you've talked about many times, biotech often underperforms the market. But over the past several years, as these stocks have reached historic highs and substantially outperformed the general market, I think the stocks themselves, really divorced from the mission of the companies, have become attractive to these investors. And the concern is it distracts the companies from a mission that has a social goal as well as an economic goal.
So, Fred, what do you suggest be done here? If we embrace capitalism, we've got to kind of let activists be a part of this marketplace. And in some cases, some would argue that they fight for good things and for increasing shareholder value and getting companies to do things that they might have done a long time ago. So what's the balance here? What's the solution?
Well, the power of the markets to promote biotech is absolutely extraordinary. I mean, there have been 140 IPOs in the past 4 years of a lot of really exciting companies. So that's all good. I think that a lot of this has to do with why this is being done in which companies. So that there are many companies, as you followed, who are losing revenues because drugs are coming off the patent cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And the biotech industry is very concerned that as this happens, that can sort of be shoved under the rug with a stock buyback that reduces the number of shares. And there's concern that that's happening when, in fact, a loss of revenue should have exactly the opposite effect in a capitalist market of stimulating the innovation and forcing companies to redouble the efforts to increase their revenues and to increase their pipeline and take the risk necessary to replace the drugs that are coming off patent and then losing value. So the capitalism works. The revenues are a tremendous driver of innovation and creativity and investment. And as long as those two are aligned, as long as the drive for revenues is also the drive for innovation, which is how we picture the industry, then this really works incredibly well.
Fred, give us a couple more examples of some companies that you particularly have your eye on.
Well, the famous one a couple of months ago is the Valiant and Allergan story, which made a lot of headlines and created a lot of controversy. Merck is the one that's really attracted people's attention with an enormous intent to buy back about $10 billion of their shares. And, you know, to put $10 billion in the R&D context, that's 2 years' funding for the National Cancer Institute. And granted, the two are not in the same economic pipeline, but the amount of research, the amount that can be accomplished with that money, if you think of everything we do in cancer research in 2 years, that's a way of equilibrating what this is really worth to the pharmaceutical and biotech community.
All right. Dr. Fred Ledley, thank you so much. He's director of the Bentley Center for Integration of Science and Industry at Bentley University. Bentley, by the way, a strategic partner of Bloomberg Radio, joining us on the phone in Waltham, Massachusetts. Quick check on the markets. S&P 500 just down about 5 points. Dow, a decline of 58. For Vonnie Quinn, I'm Carol Masser. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.